than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And how cool was it that Facebook actually played one of our episodes straight from our RSS feed? I didn't have to upload a video. I still did, but I didn't have to this week because it actually showed up on the Facebook feed. I'm ecstatic that that actually worked, and Apple still is doing Apple things, and I don't get it. But hey, well, we're out there, man.
One of our listeners actually said that they've been using the website, so we're happy that some form of the platforms that are out there, we're able to have the show on. I mean, we have it on a lot of platforms as we know it, but hey, again, man, with the technical difficulties, I know this has been a crazy season, but we apologize for all that. I know some of it, a lot of it's out of our control, but happy that, hey, at least the book of face is working.
Yeah, I mean, of all things, Facebook actually doing their job and getting things done. Who would have ever thought that happened? But you know who couldn't get the job done this week? Unfortunately, the Baltimore Ravens couldn't do it.
Nice segue.
Thank
you. Would you
write
that down?
Much.
Did you work on that all afternoon? Were you on that all afternoon?
We are freeform right here on the call.
There's no scripts. I mean, I got my notes. I have notes and stuff like that, little nuggets for stats, and I kind of have like my flow. But you're right. The way we do podcasting is just you and me talking, just like if you know we were just chilling, man. And that's how we do it. There's no notes, no flow, no script, no teleprompters, no nothing. So.
That's what I like to tell people. Awesome. Like, we are not Ravens media. We are not sports broadcasters. We're just, you know, two dudes that love the team.
Podcasting. Yeah. You just talk. Just, exactly. Just go. And that's how the best shows happen, man. Again, we understand TV scripted for a reason, but let's just fly off the cuff. But, bro, what did you say? Again, because I always like to get your perspectives because you watch them all on TV. I'm at half the games. What did you see on TV? What was the color commentary like? What was all that like? What did you see on TV with this debacle here and letting this team get way out of hand?
It was fun to watch the game again. I was in Ocean City. I was at the Crab Bag, you know, my normal spot at the beach, watching the game. The crowds were fun watching with everybody in the bar. And I want to say, like, the first three quarters of the game, at least I was not worried about this team. I felt like the Ravens were answering back anything the Bengals were doing. It was like a chess match up until maybe halfway through the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter is when, like, the wheels kind of came off. I felt as if, and I think everybody else was kind of feeling it the same way, is that they weren't confident that the Ravens were going to win, but they also, like, they weren't, I guess the fear wasn't completely there that this game was going to get out of hand. And once things started to fall off, you kind of heard that crowd get a little bit quieter. But overall, like, everybody just kind of, it was kind of like a wait and see approach from the commentators to the people I was sitting with to just the general consensus of the restaurant. It was just kind of like, all right, we're doing it. All right, that was great. Oh, the Bengals just came back and did that. It's okay, though. We'll get it back. All right, we got it back. All right, we're good. And then things just started to, like, just kind of roll downhill. And it was just uneven, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the score dictates it, right? You know, it was kind of like, it was like what goes around comes around. You know, the Ravens stifled Chargers, you know, and we know how that result happened. And then it was kind of like, again, you can kind of use the same reaction as last week, except it was a loss. Oh, we didn't see that coming. Did you see that coming? Because it was kind of like, again, they got a taste of medicine. The Ravens, you know, shut down LA last week, and then Now, I wouldn't say the Bengals shut down the Ravens, because the Ravens still scored 17 points and they were pretty much in the game late. And so, like you're right, the wheel fell off and it all came unraveled. But there's a lot more to it, and there's a lot of underlying issues there. But no, we didn't expect the Bengals to blow them out. And we understand that 7 of those points was in garbage time, when the Ravens were pretty much, laying it to rest. And, and they scored a garbage time touchdown. I think it was Samjean Perine that scored it. So, really, it was 34-17. In all essence, it was a 17-point lead. And then, obviously, the last touchdown kind of just really put things out of reach. We're like, all right, it's over. And unfortunately, we did see a Huntley sighting, but it was for the wrong reasons.
Was that a Lamar benching? Did they just say, like, you're not getting it done today, your day's over? Or was that more of a, all right, this game's out of hand, we need to protect you and not let you get hurt on something silly?
Yeah, I agree. Because I think at that point, the Ravens kind of conceded, saying, like, look. And at that point, me at the game, I'm talking with fans in the stands. I obviously stayed to the bitter end on this one. I didn't really see did you see if any other person I was taking out? I know Huntley was in the game, but like, did all the starting receivers still play? Was Andrew still in there? Like, when Huntley was in, I kind of really stopped paying attention. I was kind of like talking to fans now at that point about like the reaction to the game and like what's going on. Cause I mean, at that point, not to say I wasn't involved in the game, but dude, games were out of hand. I was kind of more like paying attention to kind of what was happening on the field, but I was mingling with the fans a little bit and kind of talking about them. So what was going on with the personnel? Was Huntley the only replacement?
Huntley, it seemed to me, was the only replacement. I mean, yeah, we're pretty thin on most spots anyway, and there were a couple injuries that happened during the game. But yeah, Huntley was the only one that brought in. But when it first happened, I was like, oh my God, it was like, I think they just benched Lamar. But then I kind of realized, oh no, they know. This is out of hand. We don't want him
to get
hurt.
That's not a benching of Lamar. No. It's kind of the same thing when it's no different if they're up. Like,
right.
You know, like, remember Cincinnati, when they beat them 59-10, it was kind of like, why is Lamar, look at it this way, when the Ravens are up in the fourth quarter, why are you going to play Lamar? It's kind of looking at like a preseason game. Like you said, it's meaningless. Like, the Ravens can't come back. They kind of conceded that point that, like, look, their heroics on Monday night were awesome. They were down 19 points at that point. But, it's like at that point, that was crazy because it was like a 17-point lead. But yeah. I don't know if it was at that point where they were just kind of like, all right, we're done. We can't do it, which is unfortunate. But I think the clock was the enemy at that point, because the Ravens knew they just couldn't do anything. And it was sad. And that was my reaction when he got yanked. If my memory serves correctly, and if you can back me up or correct me, he got yanked when the Ravens were still down 17, right?
Right.
So I would love to go back, and I actually still have the game recorded, so I might really fast forward to the fourth quarter. I'd like to know how much time's left, because if it was like 6 minutes left in the game, I can see why they did it. But if it was the whole quarter, I could be like, really? Like, you were down 22-3 in the fourth quarter against the Colts, and we came back, and that was 19 points. This is 17, but I just felt like defensive. This kind of like looked like the Colts game in a sense. Like, Ravens couldn't get nothing done on offense, couldn't run the ball. Defense fell apart, except the Ravens didn't come back in this one. Obviously, they scored way more points at that point, 34-17. But it just was uncharacteristic of how – Harbaugh alluded to it – how weak this league is. Coming from the Colts game, barring a heroics from a Lamar Jackson performance like we'd never seen before, we were griping, right? They couldn't run the ball. Defense can't tackle. The screen pass is giving fits. And then what do they do? We were all scared of the Chargers offense, right? We're like, what are they going to do to this team? And then what happened? They were tackling hard, hitting, confusing Herbert. And you're like, whoa, timeout. This is the same Ravens defense we were just complaining about. What happened in a week? They got a good week of practice. And then now fast forward that another week later, people can't tackle. Humphrey looks average. We're all like, what's going on? And it's kind of like it was 2 weeks ago again, like the Colts game. It's like, what? And that's what's frustrating. And I'm sure all the coach players are frustrated, of course. But what's more frustrating for us fans is that's the problem. It's and it is really hard to be that consistent for 17 games plus. I'm sure it is. I mean, it you got to demand that. It's a lot. I mean, a lot of even the elite teams have their shortcomings. You could probably even look at the Arizona Cardinals. I don't care if they're 7-0. Sure, they got weaknesses, even though they have a zero in the loss column. They're not perfect. They're only perfect in the records. But you know, every team's got a weakness, right? I mean, look at the Patriots. They marched all the way to perfect almost until the Super Bowl, and the Giants pretty much snuffed that out. So, you know, way back when. So, I mean, that's beside the point. But, you know, looking at this team, it's really – it makes your head spin. You really want to scratch your head and go, what's going on? Like, and I get it. And I would love to go back to the stat board and see what the rushing defense was with the Bengals. But we know the Chargers were historically bad against the run this year. They were given 150 yards off the ground, obviously, the Ravens discover that. And I'm not, you know, saying like the stable of running backs we have were awesome. You know, they weren't on a team for a reason. We had to pick them up off the free agent wire and off waivers. There's a reason why they weren't on an NFL team to begin with, for one. This rushing attack is embarrassing outside of Lamar. I mean, dude, they got snuffed out. They couldn't run the ball. No penetration, no separation. It was bad. Not only that, but I mean, you could just screw around in the game. Offensive line, horrible pass blocking. Lamar sacked 5 times again, running around for his life, couldn't get in that rhythm. You know what I thought was the enemy of this team was ball control. Mm. Remember how we gleefully were gloating about and praising the Ravens for holding the ball 2-1 against the Chargers, 38 minutes to their 21 minutes. I mean, it just, you know, for almost a 40-20 thing. You have 60 minutes in the game. Ravens possessed for 2/3 of the game. Well, yeah. First off, your defense is rested, and then you're firing all cylinders, making most of your possessions. The Ravens go from 1 week taking the opening, but they did the same thing again. They won the coin toss, but deferred it in the second half, got on defense first, and obviously it worked. You know, they stopped them. And the Ravens, what did they do? The first two possessions, 3-and-out. And it was kind of like, here we go again, just like how Monday Night Football started. It was like they got the possession, you know, even though obviously the Colts took it to the house 7-0. But what the Ravens tried to answer is 2 weeks against on the Colts, 3-and-out. And it's like, you can't do that. And I know at that point, the Ravens weren't in a deficit at that point, but it was just like, you cannot come out like that. And we talked about it, right? How many times have we have already said this year on the show? The Ravens just start out slow offensively. They don't get it going. And apart from the Chargers game, that's the only game I can think of that they kind of just, and it may be the Chiefs, because I think the first possession they came out. Remember, you know, Lamar threw the pick 6, and then they took the next possession, went right down and scored a tie to game. So, I mean, apart from that, I just felt like the Bengals were hungry. The Bengals knew it was coming. They had a better scheme. They were better prepared. Me sitting in the stands, it looked like the Ravens were more energized during the intros than anything. I mean, it was kind of like, it kind of reminded me of the Titans playoff game, you know, 2 years ago. It was kind of like everything was great. Ravens were energized coming out of the tunnel and all that. But then you play the game and it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, you're a home divisional opponent, AC North, first place in line. You can have a great lead going into the bye week on this team, be the top dog in the AFC with 6 wins, 1 loss, and everybody be talking the mighty Ravens lookout. And what was the mantra leading into the game from all the media, right? Ravens are pretty dangerous. I mean, Lamar Jackson really didn't have his best game last week, and the Ravens went soundly against a great Chargers team who's no slouch, blah, 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 and you heard that whole narrative. And the Bengals come out and prove them. And when I say we, I say maybe the fan base we. I'm not saying the Ravens we, but who knows? I mean, the product speaks for itself in a 41-17 shellacking. But these aren't your old Bengals. You know, this isn't your Lamar miraculous spin move. We beat them 59-10, score like 4 or 5 straight touchdowns and embarrass some Bengals. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. I mean, we can talk about the Ravens problems all day long, but I'm going to tell you this right now. How many times did I encounter a Bengals fan? By the way, hey, great encounters with Bengals fans during tailgating. I'm going to give you an awesome encounter. The one guy had you remember AJ Green, right? Remember, we talked about it, Raven Killer.
Right.
I joked with him, and he was like, we were all talking about the game, and he was talking because he was talking about how Lamar's awesome, and he can't wait to see Lamar. It was his first game seeing Lamar in action live, and I'm like, yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. And I joked with him. I said, you might want to rip that 8 off and change the back of the jersey. I said, Jamar Chase is going to be a problem. And he goes, man, he's going to be a baller. I mean, my goodness. And if Marlon Humphrey can't cover him, bro, what he did, he's a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Burrow. And you know what's even scarier is I know they came from the same school, but we know what Justin Jefferson can do. And it kind of sets up for the bye week. We have to play Justin Jefferson in 2 weeks. Not to say Burrow's not throwing to him as Kirk Cousins, but at one point, the LSU offense had Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson on the same team. Imagine that.
That's so, a scary team.
And we know what Justin Jefferson did last year, you know, rookie of the offensive year, offensive player of the year, rookie honors, and Chase Young got it for defensive. But that's scary. And the dude had 200 yards receiving. I mean, you can't have that happen. But not only that, but Uzoma, tight end, you know, national tight ends, they who knew there was a thing. I mean, they make these national days up, man. I mean, what's today? National drywall day? I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at the wall. That's why I said that. I'm not supposed to be staring at the wall talking about this game. But he went off. Let's just talk about that. Ja'Marr Chase and Uzoma at the tight end. Big plays killed this team. Like 3rd and 10, I was in the end zone when it was in my end of the end zone. Said 3rd and 10, you know, they stopped the Bengals on 2 consecutive plays. 3rd and 10, Ja'Marr Chase runs a slout and poor piss poor tackling on all fronts.
Yeah,
it would look like I think 4 or 5 Ravens were around the ball. Ja'Marr Chase does a spin move and he's gone.
The spin move
to that
house,
and I'm like,
hold on, the spin move that we've seen before from Lamar against the Bengals.
Dude, Good Morning Football did that outside of side comparison. It was actually pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. They would say it was reminiscent. It was like they did it the exact same time on a split screen. I was like, geez. And it went for big plays, supposed to plays. I mean, hey, it was kind of like, hey, there was their own version of spin move. But, dude, leaving the tight end wide open twice, Ja'Marr Chase taking it to the house once like that. I mean, big plays killed this team all day. And you take away those 3 big plays. You could literally take away those 3 big plays. That's the 17-point gap that they had before it was 41-17. It was 34-17. That's it. The Bengals, other than a few drives, they marched the ball down the field and obviously scored. Those big plays, that was it. I mean, again, you could say, well, the Ravens had some of their own. I mean, right, like, you talk about it. I mean, they had the big pass to, you know, Hollywood Brown, but the toe drag swag, that was awesome. I mean, the Ravens have big plays of their own, and big plays sometimes do make or break the game. But they really did the Ravens in. I mean, we've always talked about in the history of this podcast and this covering this team, the big plays kill you. I don't care who's on defense, even when Ray Lewis and Henry were on the team, you know, they've given up big plays before. It was just like, stop the big play from happening. And when you do that, things tend to go better, you know, and I felt like, you know, they did for a while, and you're right. It was a chess match. It was like, all right, it was, you know, 3-0, then it was 3-3, then the Bengals, you know, 10-3, and the Ravens come back, and then it was 13-13, and then they're going past the Hollywood, and like 17-13, and then the Ravens got the lead finally, and then you're like, all right, here it is, and then under my breath, I willed it, right, you know, and I say it was me. I know Marlon Humphrey intercepted it by the talent he has, but it was like, when the Bengals were driving, it was 27-17, I'm like, you got to hold them to 3, or very, at the very best, get a turnover. So you got to get a turnover. You got to stop the 3 points. It's got to be a 2-touchdown lead or less, right? 13. At that point, if they kick the field goal, it's 30-17. You're like, okay, they go down and score. And in my mind, I'm thinking they go down, score a touchdown. Then it's 6-point game at that point. And then when Marlon Humphrey intercepts it, the place erupts. And I'm like, all right, great. You stopped them. And then it just, and again, the Ravens sputtered out on offense. They couldn't get going offensively. Lots of issues, running, tackling, line blocking. I mean, it was a bad performance all around. And it makes you really look at this team. Like, are they really worth the 5-2 record that, I mean, they got through what they got and they're fortunate to get what they got, but it's like, Brandon, are you really concerned going forward here, you know, going into the bye week and beyond, are you really concerned about this team, the way things looked after that game? Are you hitting the panic button or even smashing at this point? Are you going to say, look, timeout, they got 2 weeks. They got guys coming back that are hurt, and we'll talk about that a little bit with the injury report and guys that are either hurt or are coming back. But where are you with the pulse of this team? Are you concerned yet? Or are you going to, like, hey, let's wait, because I don't want to look ahead, but I do at this point in the conversation is they got the Vikings at home after bye, and we know how historically this team is off a bye. Then they got a short week against right now, which is the 1-6 Dolphins on a Thursday night. Then they get the Bears. I mean, so you could really look at this team as 8-2 going to play the Browns at the end of November, you know, with their second, what starts off a 3-game streak with the AFC North. So that's all important. But that, looking with all that unpacked, what is your concern level?
I'm not hitting the panic button yet. I definitely am concerned. I always have. You listen to the last couple weeks throughout this entire season, I've always been worried about the longevity of this team. Those injuries come up, and the running back situation has been a pretty big situation for this team this entire season. So I'm not hitting the panic button just yet, but I'm definitely concerned about how far they can go. This is the longest season that they've ever faced in 17 weeks. This is a great record, though. I mean, I'm very happy about that. Any of these games, one bad move or one, you know, the football could have hit that crossbar against Detroit and flown back towards us, and that could be a loss right there. So they're finding ways to get it done. I think this game, though, this was a chess match, and I feel as if they got outplayed. Our defense, you know, got kicked around a little bit. I think we got outcoached, because at the end of the first quarter, or the first half, I should say, second quarter, the Ravens marched down the field and they were able to get a touchdown. It was Devontae Freeman got that touchdown, and they left about 2 minutes on the clock. Now, if they would have been able to stretch that timeout a little bit more and not let the Bengals get those 2 minutes back, we could be talking about a different game, because the Ravens would be going in after just scoring a touchdown to the locker room. They would have been energized. And then the Bengals got the ball back and they just marched down the field, and then they were able to get some points and pretty much left us at a tied game heading into halftime. So I think that, and then we also have that really bad misused timeout. We were trying to draw them off sides. You know, it felt as if the Bengals had done their homework. The Ravens didn't know how to respond. We've seen this before, but this wasn't a complete shellacking. Like, it looks bad, 41-17. It looks really bad on paper, but the Ravens really did hang in there for the majority of the game. Now, we said it, you know, what was it, up against Indy, you know, it doesn't matter whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning's winning. So you got to give it up to the Bengals. They had an answer for everything that the Ravens did. But look at the pass to Hollywood Brown. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Probably Lamar Jackson's best pass we've ever seen. Honestly, that was so good. And probably Hollywood Brown's greatest reception, even though he just had that touchdown in OT not too long ago. So I was really impressed with that. I was really impressed with Anthony Averett, who definitely improved from that Indy game. And we know Cincinnati was targeting him a whole lot, but he was able to get his game a lot better. So Deshaun Elliott, he tweeted out after the game, and let me pull it up real quick, and it said something about, like, consistency. We know we have to be consistent. Let me get the exact wording real quick as my tweets load here. He said this: gotta be consistent, we will bounce back. And that's how I kind of feel, too. I think that the Ravens are going to go into this bye week. They're going to still do some homework, even though it's going to be a little bit of a vacation. And I think that they're going to realize they have to be consistent. There are no days off in the NFL right now.
No,
okay?
No.
You're in the
season. You know what this reminds me of?
Go for it.
And again, not comparison. You can't compare Super Bowl years. But 2012, as soon as we got shellacked, I'm like, on the way home, I'm like, didn't we get blown out before a bye week one
right
time?
Before.
And you know what it was? 2012. Mm-hmm. Remember the mutiny?
Yeah.
You know, the Ravens were 5-1. I believe they just lost Ray Lewis at that point. I think it was the game right after Ray Lewis, wasn't it?
It was against Houston.
Yes. And they lost 43-13, just same way. Like, couldn't do nothing. And you're like, okay, they're 5-2 at the break, and then they go on a run. You know, so, and we know what happened. You know, the end of the year, they won Super Bowl 47. Not saying a prophecy over this team right now, but we've been here before. Like, this is nothing new. Right before the bye week, you have an opponent. And at that point, and it was funny. At that point, it put the Ravens at 5-2, and then the Texans were 6-1. So the Texans were actually cream of the crop of the AFC that year. You know, rewind that all the way to 2012 when they were relevant. So we've been here before, and then what do they do right after the bye? You know, I'm right with you. I'm not hitting the panic button, but I'm concerned. I'm using that concern. Yeah, there's a lot of concerns, but they're 5-2, a game out of first place, or half a game, you should say, because the Bengals kind of got that one victory right now head to head.
Right, right.
And they're 7 weeks in. I'm not kidding you. I literally told some of the fans in the stands when we were talking, and when it was garbage time, I was like, look, if you just sat here and told me that the Ravens would have had their second loss of the season in week 7, I would have been like, you're out of your mind, especially after we lost Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill, and Marcus Peters. I would have been like, you are absolutely off your cuckoo. Ain't no way. And then looking at the schedule, I'm like, oh, they're going to lose to the Chargers. They're going to lose to the Chiefs. Who knows what the Raiders game. Like, you look at it, and you're like, they're going to have at least three or four losses by then. Like, you already pegged the Chargers and Chiefs' losses, and they won both of those games. So it was like, okay, I mean, 5-2 mark, hey, you got to take it. You look at the AFC, nobody's better than that. I don't care, and I'm not talking playoff seed. I know we talked about it last week. The Ravens were top seed. Now the Bengals, if the playoffs were start today, would be top seed. Ravens would be fifth seed in the wild card right now. But it doesn't really matter because there's a lot of time left, but it's just fun to talk about. But I know the Ravens went from being a game up in the AFC. Now everybody's tied. We know the Bills were on a bye at 4-2, but no one has a better mark at 5-2. There's a lot to be unsettled. You know, the Ravens are falling right in the middle of the pack, but it's kind of like at now or never. The bye week comes at a perfect time because it's like 5-2. You need to get bodies back that are kind of hurt at this point for a few weeks, and you need to right the wrongs now. Tackling, I really want to ask you about that. Is that – you think that's a talent issue, or is that something that can be coached up? Because you – and I want to bring up the Chargers. They made every – it looks like they made all the great tackles at the Chargers game, but – everybody, it felt like the Bengals players were like doused with butter or something because it was just like, woo, woo, woo. It just was like, do you not know how to put a hat on somebody and put them on the ground? Like, I just don't understand it. And again, I know the Bengals guys are athletic and they're and this and that. Burrow made a couple of nice plays in the pocket, but I'm like, at the same time, you guys are athletes too, man. You got to do it. You got to put these guys down, man.
Tackling has always been an issue with this team. I mean, just a couple years ago, do you remember Eric Weddle? He couldn't wrap anybody up to save his life when he became a Raven. So I don't know what staff there is, if there's been any turnover since then, but I feel like that's something. And it's also something you got to think about, too. The NFL is constantly changing rules on what's a clean tackle nowadays. So I think a lot of these players are almost scared to make a full-on tackle because that'll draw a flag or something like that. I mean, the Ravens, though, I don't know if it's something specific for them, but the tackling was a massive issue during this game. I think it's something we're going to see more often with this team. It definitely 100% is an issue that the Ravens need to get better with because, like, we're making up excuses for them right now, but that was definitely a shortcoming of this game, and it affected the game and the outcome.
It did. And what's also frustrating is – and again, I know each personnel is different, but whatever scheme they did to stop Tyreek Hill, because how many times we talked about it heading into the Chiefs matchup back in week two, which seems like an eon ago, you got to eliminate the big plays with Tyreek Hill because how many times has he killed us? I mean, again, that team was pick your poison. It was either Hill or Kelsey, and Kelsey did all his damage, but they still won the game. But whatever you did to stop Tyreek Hill, why couldn't you kind of blueprint that to stop a Jamar Chase? Like, to me, it's just like – I mean, again, I know it's different team, different personnel, different schemes, but I don't know. But talking about this kid, man, what he's able to accomplish, to have him in the AFC North when they drafted him, I'm like, oh, here we go. It was a great exchange, and this is how you tell these guys have a lot of respect for each other. We already know Marlon Humphrey put himself on blast saying, I got to do better. He gave up well over 200 yards with his coverage on Sunday, which is uncharacteristic of him. Yeah. You know, all pro like that. I did not expect that. I mean, I know he got the pick to kind of keep us in the game, which is an awesome play. But Ryan May tweeted this, that was an awesome exchange. Jamar Chase and what Marlon Humphrey said to him late in the game. Quote, he was just like, good job, keep working. I was like, same thing to you, and we just kept playing. These guys, mutual respect, Warriors, hard AFC North guys, they're going to meet twice a year. Just as a Bengals fan was leaving in the stands and you know, of course, waving and gloating and bye-bye, and a Ravens fan stood up and says, we'll see you again. We'll see you again. Just wait. And that's exactly right. We're going to see these guys again and see if we can right the wrongs. But just put in perspective on how special we understand it. You know, we always talk about our players and Ravens and how special what Jackson can do and all that. Jamar Chase, man, he leads the NFL right now in the first 7 weeks with 754 yards receiving. That's the most in NFL history. Think about all the receivers that have come and gone, Hall of Famers, Jerry Rice, all that. Jamar Chase is the first to do that. The dude's a problem. And Joe Burrow with under center, he's a very good quarterback. And I think the Bengals are now, we got to look at them now. The Browns have their issues. I know they won a great game on Thursday night against the Broncos. It was a good back and forth game. But with Baker being hurt and their two running backs being hurt, it's kind of like, who knows what the shape of AFC North is going forward, but it's like, now you got to keep an eye on the Bengals. Now it's kind of like, okay, like coming in, we kind of knew about what Ja'Marr Chase can do and fantasy owners know. But then we know what Burrow is capable of. We know, and the Bengals, their two losses are by 3 points. So it's like, okay, you can slice and dice it that they're right there. But now we know that they're a very, very good football team. And right now they're division leaders, half a game up on us. And it's time to look at them. It's time to look at them. And the Ravens are in concerns. But something I really wanted to touch on is kind of like the positives. And you might go, what? There's positives in this game?
There were definitely positives of this game.
There were.
Yeah.
But before we get to the positives, I really want to touch on this because this is concerning, man. Again, we talked about the run, running game. The Ravens have to run the ball to set the pass, and you can't just throw it. And I think it's allowed on Lamar, especially being early in his young career with these receivers and building rapport. But not to say that Hollywood and Mark Andrews and company are no slouches, but we've always talked about the pass and run game complement each other. You run this up the pass, and then you also pass this up the run. You keep it a balance. You got to keep them on your toes. The Ravens were so one-dimensional on Sunday. They were doing that zone schemes against Lamar. No wonder we couldn't get anything going because the Ravens could not run the ball. Everybody in the stadium knew it. The Bengals knew it, and they dared Lamar to do it, and they couldn't get it done. Well, what's alarming is the outside of Lamar. Lamar had 12 rushes for 88 yards. So you can pretty much, you know, but the rest of the running backs – Williams, Bell, Freeman. We know Freeman got the toss down on the goal line. They went 12 attempts for 27 yards. Like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
And we get it. The Ravens can't help it that they lost their three guys preseason. We know what that is. But I don't know if they got to make a trade for somebody or even if there's a deal on the table or I don't know if they can trade cash or players. I don't know what scenarios are out there. But if we're going to talk deep playoff run and Super Bowl with this team this year, this can't go on because if the Ravens come out of this bye week and put on this kind of rush performance, I don't know what gives, man. It can't happen. It just can't. It can't. But what I do want to praise, Rashad Bateman got way more involved in the offense again, second week in a row. His production increased. Do you realize that Rashad Bateman – had three catches in the Bengals game, and they all went for first downs. Again, like the Chargers game went four. Through his two games as a Raven, back-to-back, he's caught seven passes, four in the Chargers game, three in the Bengals game. All of them have moved the chains.
Yep.
He is going to be a good receiver for the Ravens. And this is where I kind of want to like, maybe hopes on the horizon. This is why I'm not concerned in the passing game. At least I think the identifiers here is defensive schemes, tackling, not letting up to big plays in the rushing attack. And obviously the pass blocking is atrocious. It could be the run blocking too. The O-line in general. This is called flat out the O-line. And we understand there's injuries to be had there in schemes, but the passing game I'm not worried about. Also, why not worried about? Because we know we got Mark Andrews, but you know what's awesome? Hollywood Brown, 7 touchdowns this year through 7 games. He's averaging 1 a game. You know what's awesome? Since week 12 of last year, Hollywood Brown, and interestingly, I saw this from Phil Yates, tweeted this out earlier from some stats. Most receiving touchdowns since week 12 last year. Hollywood Brown is first with 12. 12. He's got 7 this year, 5 since week 12 of last year, 12 touchdowns total through that span. Mike Evans is right behind him at 11, tied with Devonta Adams at 11. Tyreek Hill's at 10. Cooper Kupp's at 10. And Cooper Kupp's having an amazing year. He's probably going to surpass. DeAndre Hopkins is 9 on that list. Also, for fantasy guys, Brown, who had an average draft position of wide receiver 38 in the preseason, is the 6th highest scoring wide receiver in fantasy this year. So, fantasy owners are finally getting rewarded with a Ravens receiver in Hollywood Brown. I got him in a couple leagues. I'm not really worrying about for a position that we've always been worried about. There's promise in Rashad Bateman. Chain mover, possession receiver. I can't remember if he had any drops during this game, but the only other drop led to an interception in the Chargers game. It didn't really do anything, but it went off his hands. The guy's a possession receiver, chain mover. Got to feel confident with that. Hollywood's getting it done. The passing game, big explosive plays, accuracy with his toe drag. The dude's a playmaker coming in on his own. He's got a lot of big explosive plays. I mean, take your pick this year. You know, the long touchdown pass against against the Colts, had the one against the Broncos, had this one against the Bengals. He's been getting it done. Mark Andrews is balling out and coming to his own in the later part of in the middle of the season. So there's some promise there. Lamar's got to play better. He didn't have his best game, but again, you know, there's a lot to put under Mike's scoop. But I'm going to reserve judgment after this three game stretch before they play the Browns at the end of November. Again, you got the Vikings, Dolphins and Bears right now. Dolphins and Bears, as it stands now, combined for 2 wins total. Vikings might be a tough outing, and we'll cover that next week. You know, we know they got the personnel. It's going to be a battle of the purple teams. So see how it plays out. The Ravens really need to get rested. I know Pastor McCarthy went down with an injury this past week. Apparently it's an ankle sprain. Doesn't sound like it would be serious. He might miss a few games here. Other than that, then here's the thing. They got to get healthy. But talking about the health of the team, they are going to hopefully get some players back. Right now, we understand Nick Boyle was back at practice. Awesome. Jeff Reebok tweeted back at me this past Sunday. Asked him if Boyle was active. He's not. He's not even an active roster at this point. They're going to wait. At some point after the bye, Derek Wolfe, your buddy, should be back. Sammy Watkins should be back. Ben Cleveland, Chris Restry, and Nick Boyle. So the Ravens should get healthier as the season goes on. Hopefully get some of these bodies back to help out with some reinforcements here. But, dude, the team's just riddled with injuries. Patrick McCarthy going down, another one. But, again, with an ankle sprain, we'll see how it plays out. But the team's just got to get healthy, bro. Another point I wanted to ask you about. Second quarter? Whoa. And everybody was beside themselves. Could you believe that the Ravens did not put Tucker out there and they punted the ball instead for a 25-yard difference?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and of course we're all up in arms. And then now I read the aftermath. I'm like, you know what? Now I want to ask you what your perspective is on this. Tucker, apparently it was a 57, 58 yarder. We knew it was around 60, but apparently it was said to be a crosswind and would have been a low percentage kick. And that was Harbaugh said, because it was Harbaugh was asked about that during the play. And it was one of my questions, like, dude, you got the best kicker out there. But apparently there was a crosswind that the Ravens were worried about. And Jeff Cerebic pointed out these stats. Justin Tucker is 4-for-12 from 57 and beyond in his career from 57 beyond. So he's four. So he's made 4 kicks at 12. You know, 3 of those makes are indoors. 2 of them were in Detroit, right? Covered it. This year he had the 66 yarder. That he has 1 career make it home from that distance in his whole career here. He deserves the benefit of doubt. Obviously, but can't ignore numbers either. That's what Jeff Cerebic goes on to say in his tweet to wrap that up. So now hearing about that, I can kind of see where they're coming from. But I guess sitting in the stands, you're kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, it's Justin Tucker, kicked a field goal. I mean, at this point, it really didn't matter. But there was a lot of head scratchers here. And then another one was the indecisiveness again, man. Like, the Ravens, I don't know. I can't remember the yardage. But it was like, I think, it was 4th and 15, right? The Ravens looked like they were going to stay on, go for it, because I saw it was funny. You saw Justin Tucker. I saw it live in stadium. Justin Tucker was like on the sideline, getting ready to go out. And then they were like, okay, let's bring him back. Looked like the offense was staying in the field. And then finally, like, Sam Cook goes out there. I'm like, make up your minds. And then they call timeout in. So it was like, a lot of things were just frustrating the day. I don't know what gives, but I'm going to wait a little bit to reserve judgment, but we understand the breakdown, man. Got to get better. Got to get healthier. Just got to get better at what they're doing. And like you pointed out too, Sean, consistency. No team's really perfect. They got to be consistent what they're doing. Consistent teams, healthy or not healthy, win majority of the games if you do the right things the right way. And, you know, if the Ravens continue to play like this week to week and don't know what kind of team we're going to get, like, are they going to throw it for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns and Lamar going to look awesome? Is the defense going to clamp down a tackle? Are they going to miss tackles? Are they not going to scheme for this guy? I mean, it's such a week-to-week league, and Harbaugh pointed that out. You just don't know. And that's why you can sit here and look at a crystal ball, you know, and wrapping things up for kind of like the first half of the year. Again, we didn't know what this team was going to look like, right? But at 5-2, I'm impressed, given the rash of injuries, given some dramatics and heroics, and we talked about it. How lucky can the Ravens get with these heroics? Then they won decisively against the Chargers to put all doubt about that. Then they get the doors blown out. But I thought it was an interesting day, given the fact that both Lamar and Patrick Mahomes on the same day took their worst losses in their eras. Not it, it's you know, everybody's like, with the Ravens figured out. Hey, you seen what the Titans did to the Chiefs, right? I think the Chiefs at 3-4, I think they're in trouble. And for people that think that the Ravens are figured out, they're not figured out. They just have retreads at running backs, lack of a pass and run blocking scheme, have 16 people in IR, and it just leads to a lot of things. You know, they don't have a Marcus Peters to compliment Marlon Humphrey. They don't have a J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, a 1-2 punch to take the pressure off Lamar in the running game and him trying to force feed the attempts. You know, now they got Rashad Bateman back. Some relief is in the passing game and then some. And then Sammy Watkins is coming back soon. So, like, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of missing parts. But 5-2 after the break, you got to say, hey, it could be worse, right?
Right. I mean, this is the first loss since week one. You really can't.
Right. Five wins in a row. Like,
five wins in a row.
How spoiled are we, man?
I mean, yes, I know this is Lamar's first loss in October. Yes, it's his first loss against the Bengals. But this Bengals, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the four home games, and I said I expected this to be a loss. Now, after they beat up on the Chargers, I'm like, how can you bet against the Ravens right now? You can't. That's why I said I predicted them to be a win. But I think you look at that score at the end of the game. On paper, it looks really bad. 41-17. That looks terrible. It was not that far apart. I want to say these guys played three and a half quarters of this game pretty stellar. And once Ja'Marr Chase did the spin move, the Lamar spin move, was able to break away from that tackle. If Marlon Humphrey makes that tackle, we're talking about a very different game. I think that play happened. It kind of took the wind out of the Ravens' sails, and I think at that point they were tired. They knew the bye week was coming up, and they kind of gave up. So I'm not trying to make excuses. I don't want to make excuses for this team, but 5-2, not the end of the world. This season is not too far gone. We're not already looking at draft picks or something like that. You know,
oh, yeah, dude.
There's still plenty of life left in this team. There's plenty of life left in the flock. And I think that this bye week, I mean, we say it every single year, couldn't have come at a better time. And I
it
think
couldn't
that's,
come at a better time. Yeah. It always does.
I think it's true. I really do. I think this team is going to take some time off. They're going to, they're still going to be putting in the work, but every week this team has been able to figure out how to get a win. Or if they did have a loss like Monday or this game, they've come back better than they were before. Look, again, I'm going to put the spotlight on Anthony Averett. He got made a fool of against Indy, and he came back this game, and Cincinnati tried to exploit him just like Indy did, and he was making plays. So I think
he was. With the exception of the Pernine touchdown run, because Pernine literally just like ran him right past him, and Averett had no chance. But
right.
Given the passing game, you're right. He stepped up. And that's all we ask for, I guess, as fans, right, is when you play bad, step up and do better. Like, well, you lose, but at least play better. Like Marlon, he gave up all his receiving yards, so I expect him to come down and cover Justin Jefferson in 2 weeks, and Justin Jefferson sucks on my fantasy team if it happens, but Justin Jefferson better be locked down and only have, like, four catches for 30 yards at that point. Like, it should be locked down. Marlon should be all on him, and that's what you expect. And then you're like, okay, Marlon went from giving up 200 yards, over 200 yards receiving, and now being thrown to all day. No one really caught the ball against him or even gained yards. So it's like, that's what you expect. You want, like Lamar, you know, coming back, had a bad game, and then comes back and does a good game, or vice versa. Or, you know, like a Hollywood, dropping two potential, you know, touchdowns in Detroit, comes back, and look what he's been doing since. And I read the stats. He's had the most touchdowns since week 12 last year. He's got 7 this year, and he's catching everything now. It's like, okay, like Bateman coming on in. What's Rashad Bateman going to do? He hasn't really practiced with the team. Oh, he's just a chain mover. Like, go out and perform and be better. It's an awesome thing to see the players improve, and that's all we do, and work on your craft. And I don't know, again, the Lions got a lot to work on, but see how it plays out. But you're right, to echo what you said, man, and agree with you, the bye couldn't come at a better time for this team to get healthy, to really look at themselves, but to put themselves in position with 5 wins. If it's going to take 10, 11, 12 wins to get there, to solidify either a wild card spot, 7 teams get in. So, you know, with that extra spot, who knows? But a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of hard games ahead. They got 5 more AFC North divisional games. They got games against Packers. They got games against the Rams. But with these games up ahead, there is no, and we covered it. Don't want to be really looking ahead until next week, but if the Ravens can really correct it, who's to say they can be 8-2 playing Browns on Sunday football? And that's a good mark. If we have our second loss, we haven't lost since week one, and we could have won that game too. Could have. Not right. You could say should have too, but you could have. Ravens got to stop driving, and then obviously Lamar fumbled it. So the rest is history. But you know, the Ravens just got to stifle the big plays, get back to what they do best, and relax. I felt like everything was forced, even especially they were behind. A lot of Lamar throws are forced, and again, it doesn't help when he's running out of the pocket, scrambling and looking around, and he's not comfortable in the pocket. And that's the other thing, a couple of last points there is he looked comfortable in the pocket against the Chargers. You know, the pocket was clean. He was making his throws. Here it was kind of like running around, and the pocket was clean on that throw for Hollywood, man. Pocket was clean. He had the time. The play developed. He launched it. Hollywood beat the double coverage, and it was laid perfectly in the back of the end zone. So we know the Ravens are capable of. We've seen what they did Monday night. We've seen what they did against the Chiefs. They're capable of it, but it's like, but it's always like, oh, they did everything right, but, you know, or everything could have went good, but this. And it's like one or two things, and they're big things, like big plays killed them, you know, poor tackling. Now, let's hope they hit the bricks this week, or I don't know if, you know, obviously it's a bye week, they're off, but let's hope they hit the bricks defensively and start tackling. And let's, when the Vikings come to town in 2 weeks, let's tackle the crap out of them, shall we? I mean, let's put them down. It's tackle football. Like, this isn't shoulder tackling, and this isn't flag or two-hand touch where, oh, I hit his jersey, he's down here. No, you got to put that guy on the ground. Like, you know, don't want injuries to happen, but make them pay for that, man. Put them on the ground. And they just got to do a better job. But tackling's where it starts, because the yards after catch is atrocious, killing this team big time.
Yeah, the Ravens definitely have some work to do, but like we said, it's a bye week, so unfortunately we're going to have a sad Sunday without any Ravens football.
We all get the rest.
This is good for them, you know. Sleep in, guys, put your feet up a little bit, rehab those injuries, but, you know, would it have been a better bye week if there was a win we were talking about? Absolutely, but unfortunately they weren't able to get it done, but hopefully they come back stronger and smarter when it comes to the Bengals, because the Bengals are not like they were a few years ago. This Bengals team is legit. The AFC North is legit. This is a tough division to be a part of.
The whole division separated by two games.
It's crazy.
Like, crazy. No one's out of this. I mean, the Browns are 4-3. The Steelers are 3-3 with a bye, right? I think they're 3-3 with the bye this week. So they're two games out. You know, the Browns are, you know, right there, like half a game, like game out. And the Ravens and Bengals are 5-2, but the Bengals getting the first place now with that head-to-head matchup. This division is far from settled. The Ravens play all their games late in the season with Cincinnati. They don't play Cincinnati again until Christmas weekend. So they won't get the exact revenge on them until Christmas weekend. So it's going to be a long season, but AFC North is far from settled. AFC playoff race, dude, 7 weeks. Like, relax, but 5-2. Ravens get to take a breather, amend, you know, they can right the wrongs and get amended with their injuries. And we'll see what happens after the bye week. And we'll be breaking down the matchup against the Minnesota Vikings come to town. And me and you can reminisce about the infamous snow game that we were at 8 years ago.
Always a blast to talk about that game. I love that game. But Josh, for this week, have we covered everything on this episode of The Call?
Man, breaking it down, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, you can listen to this podcast straight from our Facebook page. So make sure you check us out and like us over there. We just posted, as we're recording this on Monday night, Joe Flacco is now a Jet again. So he was traded away from the Eagles. He's going up to New York. Actually going to get some playing time. Let's see if he does or not. I think he will. But we'll see. Congrats to Joe. Still in the league. Still getting those paychecks. But hey, we do this show for free. We don't get any paychecks here. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It's a bye week, but Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, my friend. We all get to rest and enjoy this bye week, and still got to hype us up for the bye week, right? It's going to be a good week to take off, take a breather from this atrocious display of Ravens football tackling and run blocking and running attack, and we covered it all. We know what the problems are here with this team, and I'd like to hear from you guys. You know, get us on our Twitter handles, get us on the Call Facebook page. We love to hear you guys' reaction. Are you all concerned? You know, are you hitting the panic button? Do you share the same concerns as me and Brandon with this team? Do you have different concerns to bring to light with this team? And is it short-term or long-term? Can it be fixable, coachable, or do we have some issues here? And can this team, with the 5-win mark and a 2-loss record, can they march towards an AAC playoff berth again for the 4th straight year with Lamar Jackson under center? Can they do it? A lot of question remaining the scene, a lot of football left, bye weeks in week 8 of a 17-week schedule. It's going to be awesome. So we'll see how it plays out, but we get to all rest along with the football team and enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some football, sitting back and watching the rest of the NFL matchups, starting with a good one. You know, Thursday Night Football got Packers and Cardinals. Cardinals are the NFL's sole unbeaten team, 7-0. So we'll see how it goes, and it's going to be awesome. And can't wait to enjoy football. Stress-free, not worrying about what the Ravens are going to do or not going to do, and worrying about positions and all that. And enjoy your weekend. Take the week off, and we'll be back next week to talk about the Vikings matchup with that 4th consecutive home game to end this homestand. And with that being said, we got a double dip next week. Ravens play Sunday, next Thursday, or the Thursday following, I should say. So me and Brandon will break all the double dipping down next week on a short week of the Ravens. Enjoy the bye. But we're all going to still celebrate with the Baltimore Ravens. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.